right. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night. And we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We have the full 68-team field of the NCAA tournament. And a little bit surprisingly, the Indiana Hoosiers made the tournament, not just that they made it, but they made it relatively easily as a 10 seed. Lots of rumors kicked around that maybe they were on the bubble, off the bubble, having to play in Dayton on Tuesday or Wednesday. Turns out, as a 10 seed, they had about 8 or 9 teams ahead of them, or I should say behind them. So they made it relatively easily, it would seem. Of course, we don't know if the Big Ten tournament had anything to do with that, but they did the one thing they absolutely had to do just to kind of make sure, and that is they beat Northwestern on Thursday afternoon, or evening, I should say, and then went to the next day against the number 2 seed Maryland Terrapins and came up a little short in that game. So we'll talk about the Big Ten tournament here to start out. And Glass, I mean, there was a lot of question at that point in time whether it was going to be enough to just beat Northwestern. But as a Hoosier fan, at the very least, I think you had to be happy with the fact that they came out with the kind of energy we'd been begging them for the last several weeks and hadn't seen in a long time, especially with any kind of consistency. I don't know that it was great defense that they played against Northwestern by any stretch, but it was at least active defense. And that's, I think, what a lot of Hoosier fans have at least been acting for, or asking for, and that is be active and try to cause problems.
And that's why the performance against Northwestern probably was awfully frustrating a few weeks ago in Evanston, because that didn't happen. Dave, and Indiana had multiple chances not to sit around in pins and needles all weekend long, wondering what fate, if any, would be in the hands of the NCAA tournament committee. But obviously their body of work over the 33 games was enough. And I think for them as well, there were some results around them that didn't hurt at all for some teams that didn't do the business when they were required to do the business. So Indiana, based on the totality of the field, helped that they played in a major conference, helped it said Indiana on the front of their jerseys, and that's what put them in the tournament. So that was the good news. You'll never be upset when you get in. Indiana's first time ever as a double-digit seed, so it wasn't as comfortable as everybody wanted it to be, but if your angle was, hey, this team might be playing a play-in game or it's a 10 seed, well, that's one seed, it's one line away. Indiana was the 39th overall seed. All that doesn't matter anymore. You're in, you're in. You're not out. You're not Colorado State. You're not Murray State. You're not teams with a bunch of wins wondering, geez, what do we got to do to get into one of these deals? You're in, and that's somebody else's problem to worry about right now. And the Hoosiers against Northwestern, yeah, they did play better. They needed to play better. We haven't seen back-to-back wins from this team since the third week in January, so something had to change and something had to get better, but I think Indiana, talent-wise, was better than Northwestern, and that's why fans were frustrated in the last week in February when that didn't happen, when Indiana didn't score they only scored 8 points in that final 16 minutes and change. So the Hoosiers came out, and the other thing they did is they knocked down shots. James Blackman had 25 points and 7 assists and 6 rebounds or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Played a great game, one of his best games in recent memory. He had good balance. He had everything else. And to be frank, it was a classic Indiana story. You're out 24-6. You make Northwestern get out of everything they wanted to do because they don't score in bunches like that. They couldn't keep up like they did the first time those two teams met and kept it at 40-40 at halftime. In Indiana, they've won quite comfortably. And then you saw the exact opposite against Maryland. The Hoosiers make 2 of their final 16 shots in that game against the Terrapins. I believe they were 3 of 16 from 3 in the second half and couldn't close the deal against Maryland. But again, doesn't matter now. That's in the rearview mirror. And as we've talked throughout the year, this team, it doesn't need to look backwards. They need to look forwards. And now they're forward-looking, includes the NCAA tournament, the Midwest bracket in Omaha on Friday afternoon, 2:45-ish, against the number 7 seed, oh, geez, Wichita State Shockers.
Well, let me ask you this question. We'll ask fans out there also, 333-2665. Did you see any kind of quote-unquote turnaround over this weekend? I know they didn't beat Maryland. They were as competitive as they were the first two times they played them, when they beat them here and lost by 2 at Maryland. To me, I saw something certainly in that Northwestern game and easily in the first half when, again, as I mentioned, defensively, I thought there was an activity there. And I think I said it during a game. I didn't think it was great defense necessarily, but it was active and it made them hard. And they went after the one guy that we keep talking about with this Northwestern team you got to make sure you go after, and that's Trey Demps. You held him to 5 shots and 4 points. again, I don't want to say, I don't want to say this is some epiphany on the defensive end, because I don't think that's quite the case. But at the very least, rebounding and defense's effort, I thought you saw big time on both of those, especially in the Northwestern game. It was still better than it had been in the Maryland game, although maybe not as good as the Northwestern game. I thought you saw something different out of this team this weekend. Something they got their attention during the course of the week. Too late, maybe. I don't know, but at least it got him a win against Northwestern and a competitive game against Maryland.
Yeah, and again, I'd hope you'd be competitive in a Big Ten quarterfinal. I hope you know with your season on the line that you'd come out and play hard.
Well, to be fair, that's a good matchup for them.
And to do all those things. Well, it's a comfortable matchup because I know they beat them before by 18 points on their home floor. That wasn't a matchup where they look at Wisconsin and go, oh, geez, how are we going to come out and play hard and play tough? The fact of the matter is that game didn't mean anything, because if it did, they wouldn't be in the tournament. So their fate was already sealed at that point. Nobody knew that. Did they play better? Sure. I mean, they did play better. And if you want to compare it to what? Iowa, Michigan State, the last week at home. Again, other options Indiana had to eliminate some of this. Yes, it was better than that. And but the Hoosiers, any way you cut it, Dave, did not beat a tournament team in the last 6 weeks of the season. They didn't. They were 0-8 against teams that were going to the NCAA tournament. And that needs to get better in a hurry, because Indiana's draw in the tournament did them no favors. The good news, they're in there. What did you like against Maryland? You like the fact that Indiana still can take a punch, and they saw at College Park they could take a punch against Maryland. I didn't think Maryland played very smartly in the last 10 minutes of that game. They had a 7-point lead with Indiana. They're going in for a layup to make it 9. Holt makes a great block, mm-hmm. shifts the momentum in that game. Then Maryland's taking quick shots and bad threes, and that's fine. That's Maryland. That's Maryland's problem. Yeah, Indiana didn't quit, but again, when you come back to you had open shots that you usually make and they just don't go in, well, I've heard that enough in the last 6 to 8 weeks to know that that's now a trend. That's not something that just, wow, how did that happen? Well, it's happened a lot recently, and that's where it is. So, in conclusion, did they play better? Yeah, they played better, but I don't know. A better to me would have been a win, and you would have gone on to face Michigan State on Saturday, but that didn't happen. And good news is it did need to, and now Indiana's in the NCAA tournament after taking last season off by finishing 17-15 and not making any noise in the Big Ten tournament this year. They're in, and that's the good news. And it's a blank slate, Dave. Turn that whiteboard over, erase it, wipe it clean, and get ready for Wichita State on Friday.
Exactly right. We'll look at the road through the NCAAs. Hoosiers made it, maybe by the skin of their teeth, but they made it. And now we'll talk about what they do from here. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers finish the year 20-13 on the season, 9-9 in the Big Ten. 10-10 if you take into consideration the Big Ten tournament, which they don't for official records. But most importantly, at the end of the year in the NCAA tournament, slated as a number 10 seed, facing a number 7 seed, Wichita State, 2:45 Eastern time on CBS, or one of the CBS affiliates at least, on Friday afternoon. So you get get out of work a little early on Friday and go check out the Hoosiers play. As you mentioned, though, Glass, not a lot of favors. Wichita State, 27-4, I think was their record, and they're a 7 seed. So they sure didn't get a whole lot of respect out of the whole thing, and the Hoosiers pay for it.
28-4, 17-1. And they were regular season Missouri Valley champions, upset in their tournament, which that happens. But this was the same Wichita State team in 2013 who went to the Final Four and played Louisville, and I believe had a 5 or 6 point lead with about 6 minutes to go, 5 minutes to go. I haven't gone back and looked at it. I'm just going off the top of my head here.
Before, they were number one seed last year, weren't they?
When they were number one seed last year as they entered the tournament. 34-0, didn't have any losses. So I would ipso facto draw out that any seniors on this team have been through some unbelievable basketball the last couple of years. And as you mentioned, 28-4 this year, 17-1 in the Missouri Valley Conference. Sure, it's not the Big East. Sure, it's not the Big 12, but it's a pretty good basketball league. And the other thing is, these guys have had expectations. They've had to deal with the undefeated season. The guys that have stayed, they lost Cleanthony early, but Van Fleet is back. Celtics. Is it the Baker kid? Is that his name?
Ron Baker.
I was going to say Fred Baker, but I knew that wasn't it. And then Tekel Cotton. And that guy can guard anybody. Their strength is their perimeter. Indiana's strength is the perimeter. And what do you like in a tournament, Dave? You like young, inexperienced guards? You like senior guards that have been around the block and played in Final Fours? big deals. But, yeah, Wichita State got a raw deal. Last year they were number one seed and had to play Kentucky in the second round. And Kentucky, you knew all about that. And you could argue that Wichita State got no love in that draw, no love on that court, and Kentucky beat them. Wichita State led in that game with 4 or 5 minutes to go, and Kentucky found a way to win that one. So Wichita State in Kentucky's bracket again, and the Hoosiers in their first round. I don't know if they're too happy with the old 7 seed and real happy with Indiana being their first-round draw.
No, plus the oddity to the entire thing is the second-round potential matchup would presumably be Kansas, who is slated as a number 2 seed against New Mexico State. But the backstory, if Wichita State were to beat the Hoosiers, of course, is that Wichita State and Kansas have not played since 1993. Kansas will not schedule them, despite everything Wichita State has tried to get a game with Kansas scheduled. But Kansas wants nothing to do with their little brother, so to speak, or maybe their third brother, since Kansas State is probably their first little brother. But that side story, of course, the other side story, if the Hoosiers were to win, would be the meeting of Indiana and Kansas, two of the storied franchises, programs, whatever you call it, in college basketball. But it's, I mean, just looking at the game itself, it is a tough, tough matchup for the Hoosiers and for Wichita State. Again, you know, it's not that Indiana's a world beater at this point from their standpoint, but that 7 seed and having to go up against at least a decent, big major program team, you know, to me, as you mentioned, I mean, it's not a whole lot of love, not a whole lot of respect for a team that's won a lot of games the last couple of years.
You can count how many losses on both hands if you put them up over the last 3 years, and that's on Wichita State, I believe, beat Ohio State in a regional final back in 2013 as well. So that's how they got to the Final Four. They had to beat a Big Ten team to get there. So they're not going to be afraid of absolutely anything. The draw for Indiana is not favorable. You're in the tournament. That's the great part. There's no question about it. Can they beat Wichita State? Absolutely. Can they beat Kansas? Absolutely. We've seen when this team is on and can shoot the basketball, Dave, they can beat anybody. Wichita State, the best news for Hoosier fans, they don't have a 6'9", 6'10", post guy like, A.J. Hammonds or Frank Kaminsky or guys like that. But they do have experience. They have big-time tournament experience, and they have big-time guards, and those are things you like. And obviously, Greg Marshall knows what he's doing. We just told you what he's done the last 3 years as the coach at Wichita State. So not an easy proposition, but this time of year, Dave, it shouldn't be. Where being a 10 seed, you're going to get an easy game. That's just not going to happen. And be happy you're there and take advantage of the opportunity. Do what you do best. Shoot the basketball, put your pressure on the other team by scoring and getting out and running away from it.
Generally, the only way you get an easy game is you're a number one or two seed, not a 10. That's not how it works.
That's exactly right.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in Derek. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Happy spring break, my man.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, I had a question. Yeah, so my thought was when we play against teams like Purdue with, you know, two big guys, is Jeremiah April just that bad that we're not even going to put him in and see what happens? When we have such a small lineup, it just seems to me that we might as well give the kid a chance to play. I mean, maybe just his body, how big he is, would affect the game in some way.
Or five fouls. Absolutely. I think we've all answered the question. I think you just answered the reason why. He's obviously not doing things in practice that are necessary, that are asked of him, where he can get into a game situation and be of any value besides being one step behind the game. It's obvious because he has only played, I believe, in the Rutgers game in the last 2 or 3 minutes when Indiana was up 34 points or whatever that ridiculous final score was. And that tells you what they need to know. They don't trust him in those situations because he conceptually doesn't get it, B, isn't working hard enough to earn it, or C, all of the above. And that's tough. But you got to remember, here in this day and age, not all freshmen are one and done. There's a lot of players who do come to this program that Jeremiah April, remember, was, I think, picked up in late April, early May, no pun intended there, because Indiana needed to fill roster spaces, needed to make sure they had guys to practice and guys they could develop down the road. You know, Kentucky's not even playing their 11th, 12th, and 13th guys. They're not doing it.
And their freshmen aren't not they're ranked. They're all in the top 40 or 50.
But you don't see Michigan State digging into players 11, 12, and 13. And to be fair, that's where April is. But your point is valid. He had a season to, with all the injuries, and suspensions and everything else that went with it, he had a chance to take an opportunity and fight himself into that. And I think it doesn't always work for kids for whatever reason, but I think the proof is in the pudding that there's a reason he's not playing, and I think we've just figured out why.
Derek, it's pretty simple. Coaches in just about any sport are going to give playing time to the people that they see on a regular basis off the court or on the court in practice, but more particularly not in games, but in practice, that they think have earned it and deserve it based on what they show. And the fact that he's not playing tells you everything you need to know right there. And that's going to be the case with most kids. You could ask the question about why doesn't Stanford Robinson get 25 minutes a game? And it's going to be the same kind of answer. And the guys that do get on the floor, you know, if they make mistakes when they get out there, they're also going to lose time that way. But it starts with what you do in practice and outside of practice in your preparation. And he's clearly nowhere near earning that time.
And to your Purdue example, that would tell Matt Painter that we're playing 4-on-5 on offense. That's what would scream to him. And Purdue plays good enough defense anyhow, where you saw
when they play with the one big guy, they don't play both at the same time.
When you saw where A.J. Hammonds was guarding Troy Williams by standing inside the half circle, the charge circle in the lane, what was he going to do with April? April would just stand in front of him. It wasn't going to be much else except maybe some fouls on the defensive end. But again, in a game like that, do you want three immediate fouls where that gets Purdue that much closer to the bonus? No. It just didn't work out for April in the sense that he didn't take his chance for either maturity issues, basketball issues, or both, and you hope down the road that by, this time next year, he's contributing by his junior year. Maybe he cracks the starting lineup, and by his senior year, they've taken that lump of clay and developed it into a player, or as we've seen plenty with the Tom Crean regime, it's the door.
Yeah, he's going somewhere else.
You had a year to make an impression. Right. You didn't. We're oversigned by three guys or two guys right now, and we've got two other 6'11" guys on campus.
We've heard Tom Crean talk about the culture he's trying to build over there, one of a lot of work. And if they're not willing to do the work, they're not going to stick around real long.
Yeah, but we wish we had a better answer for you. Like, it's been a continuous ankle problem. But that was my joke earlier in the year.
Took him 3 months or 4 months
to get
past that.
He missed a Canadian trip at the beginning of August because they said he had an ankle problem. They didn't want to throw him out there to the wolves. But then I don't know if you ever listened to some Indianapolis radio. I believe Don Fisher a few weeks ago said, hey, look, he's not working hard enough in practice, and that's what it was.
Yeah, I guess that has to be it. I don't know, I guess the opportunity should have been taken earlier, like you guys said.
And some guys aren't ready for it.
It'd be nice, but here's the other thing there, Derek, is if you see him on a daily basis and he doesn't look like he can really contribute, the last thing you want to do is say, hell with it, we'll just throw him in a game and see what happens. No, you don't do that in the Big Ten. I mean, it's
unless
you're up 30 points at Rutgers.
Hey, remember last year Colin Hartman couldn't get on the floor on a 17-15 team. Couldn't play. He was healthy, couldn't get mop-up minutes, couldn't get any kind of minutes, tears his knee up, rehabs like crazy, and all of a sudden finds his way back onto the floor. So some kids, the light goes on at different times. Some kids need an episode like, hey, you didn't play for a year. Do you like that? Do you like how that felt? Do you like being killed at practice
every
day?
Get your attention yet?
Right. Yeah. And the light bulb goes on at sometimes other than not. And remember, every team has to have scholarships 12 and 13. That's just how it goes because not all those guys are going to be stars. Not all of them are going to play.
Right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, good job, Derek. That's a good question. And that's been on many people's minds.
Thanks for the call, Derek. We appreciate it.
And you look down the roster, and that's what I we try to do this on this program. A lot of you guys that listen all the time, that like Derek, and make good calls, get it. You don't play the game on paper. The game's never been played on paper. We just told you all this great stuff about Wichita State. They can come out and have a bad day, and Indiana can have a really good day. These things can happen. But when you look down and up and down a roster and you see height and you see things like height and you see things like height, it doesn't always translate into every freshman's going to walk in the door and be as good as Noah Vonleh. Remember how spoiled rotten you were last year when you have a player of that ability. If April was a McDonald's All-American, if April was a Mr. Basketball in Arizona, there'd be a completely different an outcry.
A lot of people are sick of hearing this, but this is a very young team still. Why is a different question, but it is. It's playing two freshmen in its starting lineup that are playing 28 to 35 minutes a game, depending on the game themselves, and getting significant contributions out of them. They're having to use Emmett Holt out there, and his minutes have been kind of all over the map this year, but they're having to, especially at this time, with the injuries once again, they're having to use him even further. And they throw Max Hutzel out there from time to time and needing some minutes out of him. That's four freshmen. And we talk about how many freshmen. You look at the Big Ten, we can go up and down every Big Ten team and talk about how few freshmen are making significant contributions. The ones that are, you know about, because they're really, really good.
Yep.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell is a lottery pick right now.
Tum-Tum Nairn.
Yeah, and let's be fair. I mean, you really like James Blackman's game. He's got some improvement, but you like what he can do scoring a ball, but he's not a lottery pick right now. D'Angelo Russell is, and that's why he's making the name Mello that
Trimble.
He is. Mello Trimble looks awfully, awfully good. Is he a lottery pick right now?
I don't think he's not a lottery pick.
I don't think he's quite there, but he's a darn good guard. And then you get into James and Robert, and you go throughout the rest of the Big Ten and try to find some of the other freshmen. The fact that we've got two freshmen that are starting is unusual. Sure, you can get great ones in there, and James is going to be a great one. I don't think there's any question. And Roberts is going to be a really, really good one. But they are freshmen right now. And so you look, what's their improvement like going to be after this? Some of them, they walk in the door, and they just can't handle anything to do with college.
Nope.
And we got a few of them.
Blackman has the genetics to do so. Troy and Stan didn't get off the fastest starts last year either, and with their expectations they had on them. So you got to be patient. Hurry up and grow up. Hurry up and give me patience and make it fast.
Yeah, do it now, will you?
Yep. Well, that's what the expectation of the fan is here. It's not a six-year rebuild, go to a Sweet 16, six-year rebuild, go to a Sweet 16. It's not. They're never going to accept that.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Sadly, high school basketball broadcasts are done for the season, with South losing to Franklin Central in the opener on Saturday, but a great season of high school basketball once again in the area, and we wish the teams advancing some good luck. Down a little south of here, we wish Linton all the luck in the world as they're heading off to the semi-state. But that means nothing this weekend here on WGCL. At least no high school basketball. We do have plenty of college basketball, as we will have the entire NCAA tournament starting Thursday at noon here on WGCL. Also, tomorrow night, we'll have a best of Joe Smith sports talk as he is preparing for a trip out to Omaha with the Hoosiers Friday, 2:45. Not for baseball, exactly. Got to go to Omaha to face Wichita State. So
some of our folks will know exactly where to go, all the spots to hit, as they were out there for the 2013 College World Series and Indiana's Big Ten Baseball Tournament Championship last year. That was the site of that, so three in a row means three for the show.
Good. Well, at least we know the area. 333-2665 is the phone number. Of course, how do we know Wichita State? Look, there's a good news here, and that is this isn't a team that's going to walk out there and overwhelm you with its big guy play. I'm not saying they're not a good rebounding team. I don't know that right off the top of my head, but I do know they don't have a bunch of seven-footers they're going to throw up against a team that may not have Hunter Mascara-Perea still. You know, that's got to be at least a good thing for this team, is that they're not going up against a matchup that they can't truly handle with, like personnel. The other question is, and I think this has to be asked, I've asked it at different times in different ways, Hunter Mascara-Perea may not play this weekend. He may be done for the season. We don't know for sure. I hate relying on the freshmen to give you all the minutes there, but I still think this team looked its best and had its best effort and energy, at least during the Big Ten season, when it was Colin Hartman and Holt coming off the bench to spell him. I know it's not a good thing to lose your depth, and lose a guy that's 6'9", is probably your, I don't know if your best big guy, but certainly your most athletic and most veteran. But does this team play better without him?
I can't point out in the last 15-14 games where that's happened.
Well, they did, right?
I mean, I guess they did, but beating Rutgers twice, beating Northwestern once, beating Michigan, that was better. And a lot of those games were against teams that aren't very good. And what we did see or didn't see was the next step from Indiana coming down the stretch was getting into that, we're going to beat teams that we're going to need to beat down the road. And whether it's Hartman on a gimpy knee, whether it's Perea on a gimpy knee. Now they both have gimpy knees.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the optimum situation. The optimum situation is never having injuries, but everybody's got guys nicked up or banged up this time of year. But what Indiana comes down to is Hartman gives him something different because he plays at a different level, a different altitude, if you will, where Perea plays at a completely different altitude, if you will. And there are good things that each of them brings. You'd like to rely on both of them. Indiana is defended differently when Hartman is on the floor. But again, how many games can you point out in the last five or six where I know he's been hurt for a few of those, but he hasn't had that offensive outburst in a while where he stepped back and knocked down some shots.
The threat, though, to me, I mean, it does spread the floor and it does open up the middle.
Sure. And it does. And Perea also gives you presence around the rim where, yes, I understand Hartman has blocked some shots, but that's good timing on his part.
Yes,
that is not his that is not a physical presence where it's
going to
make a guy look
lane,
twice.
Right.
Sure, or force him in the air to make a pass or make a decision they don't want to take. They're going to take it at Hartman, and you've seen him get into some foul trouble when he hasn't got those blocks or he hasn't been in perfect position. That's the issue with Indiana. The issue with the Hoosiers is they haven't had that mainstay offensively in that side of the floor or defensively in that side of the floor. We had a caller ask us about Jeremiah April. Emmett Holt gave you great minutes against Northwestern and Maryland. That's fine. He's a freshman, so he's going to have those up games and those down games as well. Colin Hartman's essentially a freshman. He barely played last year. And does Indiana get better? I don't know if they get better. I think you need all the pieces possible. I think the more ways Indiana can attack you offensively and defensively, they're going to be better for it. And if Perea can give you anything, or at least find out during the game he can't go, you know, if you hear it 3 days beforehand, that helps the other team more than it obviously is going to help Indiana. But I just don't see that night and day difference when Hartman is on the court. It hasn't shown up in wins and losses, and then that's what you're about right now. You can play as hard as you'd like against Wichita State, and we're all for that, but it's the NCAA tournament. How many of you guys have been there? None of you besides Yogi. Mm-hmm. Did Perea even play the last time that Yogi was? He didn't play
2 years ago. No,
the Sweet 16 team. So you got one guy that's been there. So you need all hands on deck. And there is no magic pill. The magic pill for Indiana, Dave, is what? Knocking down a bunch of threes, because we haven't seen them win very many other ways around it. They had 11 for 33 against Northwestern? 33 of them tells me that they were more than happy to shoot them. And making 11 of them, I believe they were plus 6 in that when it was all over. They had 20 more rebounds. They had 18 offensive rebounds. Those are the little things which makes Indiana tough. When they get scrappy, when they make some shots, and they beat up on you. That 24-6 run didn't have a lot to do with what? That had a lot to do with making some baskets, making some plays, and getting after it.
Well, we'll look a lot more at Indiana-Wichita State
on
Wednesday. But
before
we hit our next break, which we've got a few minutes here, surprises out of this. I know UCLA is kicked around as one of the last ones in.
Yeah.
But other than seeding, I mean, there really didn't seem like a lot on the bottom end that was huge shocks. I mean, Purdue at a 9 maybe could have been higher. IU at a 10 could have been lower. UCLA could have been out of there, but I didn't see a lot that was appalling out of this. Every year it seems to be something appalling. I don't know that I saw it.
Depends on what your definition of appalling is. And Indiana was right in the middle of, geez, who's going to get in? And it's almost like when you heard Indiana's and you're numb to anything else because you didn't care. Do I care that Colorado State didn't get in at 28-6 or 28-7? No, it's not my problem. The bad news for Colorado is a kid got hurt in a conference tournament. They get hurt. They don't play as well in their conference tournament. They get beat. Mm-hmm. And, again, a team with 28 wins. Murray State, you're asking Murray State to win their regular season. You're asking Murray State to win their conference championship. I mean, is that fair? Team had 27 wins. Is it fair?
Hey.
Well, again,
I've told you about these conference tournaments before and my feeling on them.
Well, the conference tournament got UCLA in. The guy that does the committee said that last night. Hey, they passed the eye test recently.
Yeah,
got to a conference tournament semifinal.
Well,
you get them to a semifinal. Murray State gets beaten in the final, guys. Come on. Who's going to go to Murray and play Murray? It's the old argument. When you have subjectivity, you're going to get subjective responses. That happens. People argue for Temple. People argue for who are all the number ones in the NIT. That'll tell you who everybody was arguing for because those are the teams that didn't get in. Did Indiana and Maryland perhaps have some help from the big name on the front of their shirt? I think Tom Izzo had a great point last night. You're talking about the seeding in the Big Ten. Purdue loses at home to North Florida and Garner Webb. Michigan State loses to Texas Southern. Indiana loses at home to Eastern Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan loses at home to New Jersey Institute of Technology, all within like a 6-day period, and all of a sudden the Big Ten's cachet goes out the window.
Yep.
And then when the Big Ten starts beating up on each other, everybody starts going through this with a fine-tooth comb to say, well, geez, should that team really be beating that team? And go look up Purdue's record since January 4th. It's pretty good.
No, it's really good.
Well, that's the point. Yeah. And they're a 9 seed, but what else do you want them to do? They got fourth in the league. They beat teams they needed to beat. But you want to go back and point out to those losses? Okay, no problem.
No, the respect that the Big Ten got this year was simply getting everybody in, I think, because if you look at the seedings, you had a 1, which is, there's not much debate about Wisconsin
as
a 1.
Zilch.
Maryland, I think, is a fair 4. I think you could go 3. I think you could go 5. I mean, you could go either way on that. I don't have a lot of complaints there, but you immediately jump down to a couple 7s, a 9, and 2 10s.
Yep.
I mean, Ohio State got no respect whatsoever either. And I know they didn't play anybody out of conference, but they got no respect as, 11-7?
Look what Michigan State did coming down the stretch. Every year they go 9-3 to close out the year, just like always. But that's fine. They're going to have to play games and do all that. But when you look at who didn't get in, again, when your team's close to that, I was numb. When I saw that first bracket in Indiana win, and I'm like, I didn't care who else got jobbed or robbed or anything else. But what I do know is that UCLA didn't beat anybody. They just didn't beat anybody.
Nope.
Their best non-conference win was Long Beach State. So if I'm Murray State, if I'm Colorado State, I'm not real happy about that, because teams usually get a break if they get a kid injured, and that's what happened with Colorado State. And I'm not going to sit here and fight about this all day because nobody around here cares about that. But those are things that go on. How does Dayton get an 11 seed? And how do they get an 11 seed and they get to play at home in the play-in game? What's that all about? I mean, that's Joe Sixpack, Joe Couch Jockey says, wait, the play-in games are at home. Louisville can't play in the Louisville first and second round in Louisville, but Kentucky can. But Dayton gets a play-in game on their home floor.
You move them to 10,
or you move them to 12 and get them out of there. Yeah.
So you don't rank. You don't stick with the rankings on that.
Well, if to give a team a home game,
I understand.
You're going to move games to get BYU not to play on Sunday.
There are rules within the rest of the tournament. That's correct.
And then there are other rules.
The only rule about this one is that Dayton is in Dayton.
That's the bad, and that violates all the rules. So how that happens is it's unbelievable. But that, again, that's going to – who are they playing? I got the bracket right in front of me.
Boise.
Well, you think Boise's happy about that? Hey, we're –
Does Boise deserve better?
And we get in? I don't know. But, again, it shouldn't be – Boise or whoever it is shouldn't have to play a team on their home court in the NCAA tournament. It shouldn't happen that way. That's bad, however you draw it up. So, those are some of the issues with the bracket. You can talk about the number one seeds. They are Kentucky on the Midwest. Wisconsin out west. In the east is Villanova, and in the south is Duke. Is that right? Duke is in the south regional. Duke is the first number one seed since 2009 that did not win their regular season conference championship or their tournament conference championship.
Yep.
So if UCLA and Indiana's reputation helped them get in, Duke's reputation helped them
get a
number one seed, because I believe Arizona went undefeated in the Pac-12 and won the tournament. They're a number two seed.
They did not go undefeated in the Pac-12. They're 16-2.
And two, okay. Still a pretty good record.
And absolutely. 31-3 overall.
Right. And their losses were bad to UNLV.
At Arizona State.
Rivalry game.
3.
Can live with that on the road.
At Oregon State, at UNLV.
Those are the two bad losses. So they must have had 30 other really good games on their schedule. But Duke gets some love. Why? They won at Wisconsin. That always helps out. But Duke got beat at home by Miami by 20. And you can when you're talking about these fine margins, Duke's RPI wasn't better than Arizona's. We're talking about fine margins because you're talking about what kind of advantage a number one team has.
And Virginia's right there on the two also. Virginia, so if you want to take an ACC team, how about Virginia, who will own the ACC
Virginia
in the regular season?
Virginia wins the ACC regular season, and their best player misses the last four games because he broke a finger and had an appendectomy.
Yeah.
Comes back for the ACC tournament. I think he played one game.
Yeah.
They get beat in the semifinal, and then they get Duke's better.
Sure.
All right, man. It is. And you know what? You got to play them all. And does it even matter this year? Because about 85% of the people filling out brackets and about 98% of the experts think Kentucky's going to walk it. So we'll see if they do.
Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking NCAA brackets right now and the teams that got in particular. Was the Big 12 really all that?
Yeah.
They got a number 2 and 3 threes.
Yep. The way they were rated and the way they got after it. Look up Iowa State. They beat everybody. Baylor, yeah. Even though they had 9 losses. Go look and see who they beat. The only team to win at Iowa State. Yeah, you can look at that. Kansas, obviously, their 11th straight regular season Big 12 crown. Oklahoma.
Which is incredible, by the
that's
way.
That's unbelievable. I don't care what league
you're 11?
In. That's, yeah. Can somebody get
that's
after
insane.
Them?
That's insane.
And then everybody thinks this is the weakest Kansas team they've had in some time. Yeah. And then Oklahoma with Lon Kruger. Kind of sliding underneath the radar.
And an 8-10 in Texas, 8-10 Oklahoma State team. These are teams that got in.
Beating each other up, Dave, has its benefits if the Big Ten was going to profit from it. The Big 12 got in 7 teams, same as the Big Ten. So, yeah, you got to find some teams to fill this tournament bracket. And, again, that's why there's not a lot of kerfuffling because of the, you know, it's yeah, people in Fort Collins and Murray, Kentucky are upset and Temple. But there wasn't a lot of other options out there that just jumped off the page. You beat teams, yes, I get you don't play in leagues where you have a chance to do so. I think there should be something different about those leagues, yes. I think their regular season champion should win. Their conference tournament champion should get some kind of look-see if it's not. Mm-hmm. But it shouldn't be a double jeopardy for them. It's like the red card gets sent off and a penalty kick. All right, you've already done 2 bad things. Why make it 3 bad things? So those teams need a break. And who knows where this tournament's going, Dave, with the NCAA's current state of affairs down the road. But we know that we're all invited to the Kentucky Invitational this year as the Wildcats are number one in the Midwest and Indiana's in that region, and there are some good teams out there, and you saw Kentucky this year need double overtime, I believe it was, at Texas A&M. They needed overtime, I believe, at home against Ole Miss. They were yep. tight with Georgia on the road in their last road game in conference play, so it's not over by any means, because you don't have to beat Kentucky best 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7. It's one night. You've seen it with Georgetown and Villanova. You saw it with NC State and Houston. It's not impossible. It's not very likely, but it's not impossible. And who's going to rise up and challenge them? Yeah, well, that's going to be the interesting question.
Who do you see out there? Because to me, the best thing to get away from kind of the inside game and the height that they have inside and the shot blocking in particular, you've got to hit outside shots.
Make threes.
So it's got to be a team like Villanova or someone like that that can bomb you from outside.
Villanova's a tough one because they play – you could name 3 guys on Villanova's team right now because they play as a unit and they've been there, they've done that. It's not that superstar score they would need to have that game. And again, they're 32-2, right? I'm not knocking them. It's just what you need to beat Kentucky is you need to have some size. You need to be able to get missed shots because no one shoots 70% anymore, Dave. It just doesn't happen because Kentucky guards you at all 5 positions. There's not a position off where you hope you can sneak by a guy. It just doesn't work that way. So if you don't get any rebounds and they get second chance points, Villanova does have the height, athleticism, and depth to do that. Yes, I think that's possible. Duke definitely has the athletes to do it. They've got McDonald's All-Americans at every position, which tells me they can play. Do they have enough experience in their backcourt? No, they don't. But we're not talking about a Kentucky team either. It's got 5 seniors. These are all right. Sophomores and freshmen for the most part. They've never had to go into a tournament with this undefeatedness. Remember, they got in the tournament last year as an 8 seed.
Yeah.
And 9 losses before they, I believe, eight or nine losses before losing in the national championship. They couldn't even beat Connecticut in the national championship game last year. And what was Connecticut? A 7 seed?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. It wasn't a number one powerhouse.
No.
Now they beat Wisconsin and they beat Michigan because Harrison hits 2 unbelievable shots. So they've been in pressure games, but they've never carried this in there. It's a great contrarian pool. You have to put Kentucky in there just to play defense. You don't want to, you know, if you're trying to win a bracket, you got to keep them in there.
Right.
But when you look at the number 2 seeds, Kansas really doesn't scare you. The Cliff Alexander's out. Their backcourt just doesn't shoot it very well. They're very Perry Ellis centric. He's a good player. There's no doubt about that. Who are your other number 2 seeds? Arizona's very good. We already talked about those
Virginia,
guys. Virginia, I have no problem with. Their style is going to give people problems.
I think you got to score, though, against Kentucky.
I think you do as well. But if you can rebound and limit their chances, you don't have to, again, get in a game in the 80s with them where that's going to be a little bit tougher to win.
Gonzaga is the other one.
Gonzaga is interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Wilcher kid played at Kentucky, transferred after the national championship year because he wasn't getting enough minutes. Gonzaga has size. They got three guys. guys, 6'11 or better. They got Sabotis' kid that plays out there. Pangos has been there. He's on the Pat Graham plan. This is his eighth year playing point guard there. But what Gonzaga is now is they're a known quantity. They're not going to slide by anybody. They're no longer a cute little story from out west.
Right.
Should they be number two? I don't know. I think I heard today that the last tournament team they played was at Arizona over Christmas break. So they're, who are they playing in the West Coast Conference?
We mentioned this team a little while ago on a different topic, but a team that just doesn't give a you-know-what at any point in time, it seems like, is Iowa State. And I don't know if they match up well or not.
They do.
But a team that's been all over the map and, again, doesn't seem to have any conscience.
Great point guard, good enough big men. They got guys that can shoot it. They got guys that can slash and get after it. And they're not going to be scared. They play games in the 80s and 90s at Iowa State. Yep. So if you want to get up and down, are they as deep as Kentucky? No.
Can they get there is part of the issue there, too.
Nobody is as deep as them. Who's the two they'll match up with before they
get to Gonzaga.
That? Yeah.
But, I mean, they got to get all the way out of their thing just to even be in the sniffing zone.
That is a fair fight because they can play. Now, if it was at Hilton Coliseum, I'd almost guarantee they'd win. But remember, they beat Kansas and Kansas City. It's a Big 12 championship game. Mm-hmm. They were down 6 or 8 late in that game and made a furious comeback to win it. That's what's great about this. The one-and-doneness of it is the key interest point because you know it's not a 7-game, 5-game, 3-game series where you say, well, there's no chance you're going to beat Villanova in 4 or 3 games or in 5 games. It's not going to happen. You need to have one good night and one night where your three-pointers go in and one night where a team maybe like Michigan State doesn't make their free throws or they make 9-for-9 like they did against Wisconsin.
Give me a Big Ten team other than Wisconsin that gets the farthest.
There's no doubt about it.
Against Virginia.
Why?
Second round?
They played Virginia last year in the regional in the Sweet 16. Virginia was a number one last year. Michigan State was a 4. And Michigan State beat them. And beat them not handily, but they didn't. I don't remember them trailing too much in
that
game.
No, it was tight, but I think they were right in it the whole time. No question.
Because Michigan State has been there and done that, and it's not a knock on Tony Bennett, but I'm not betting against Tom Izzo. You want to put him as an underdog? He's a little salty with his 7 seed, and he's going to have these kids ready to play. They're getting a little bit healthier. I think that. I would have liked Purdue anywhere but Kentucky in round 2.
Yeah.
I would have liked
the defense.
Ohio State will beat VCU. You can take that shock of havoc and do what you want with it.
But then they got Arizona.
Which, again, is an athlete-on-athlete type game, and that's not going to bother Ohio State too much. It'll be interesting to see. And Iowa, where do they go in the second round?
Where are they?
That is such a bizarre team.
Davidson, and then Gonzaga in the second round.
That's again, Iowa's got plenty of height.
Yeah.
And, again, enough athletes and enough guys.
They defend like they did down the stretch. I mean, this wasn't a defensive team the last couple years until late in this season.
That could be one other sneaker.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday to give you some predictions on the NCAA tournament and talk much more about IU and Wichita State. So tune in then. We will talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.